Funding is about to run out for a project to record the horrors committed by the Khmer Rouge in the 1970s. For 2 years, the Cambodia Genocide Documentation Center, which is paid for by the U.S. government, has been gathering hundreds of thousands of pieces of evidence detailing how the Khmer Rouge killed, starved, or worked to death up to 2 million Cambodians. Researchers say their work is still far from being done. NPR's Mary Kay Magstad visited the project in Phnom Penh and has this report.
In a small concrete villa overlooking a lively scramble of motorcycles below, a small group of Cambodians sit solemnly, paging through and organizing reminders of an era that many Cambodians would rather forget. Their boss, Craig Etchison, is manager of the Cambodia Genocide Documentation Center, a 2-year-old project run by Yale University and funded by Congress.
One of the things we've discovered is that there was a very great deal of record keeping during the Khmer Rouge regime.
What kind of records?
We have the internal records of the nationwide network of extermination centers, which really during the Khmer Rouge regime constituted the largest organized activity in Cambodia, an industrial scale concern stretching to all corners of the country that specialized in killing people.
These bundles of papers, these files and photos and thumbprints and scrawls, are a stark illustration of the banality of evil. These are meticulously kept records, daily execution logs of which prisoners were killed by whom on which day. There are before and after photos documenting the fear in the faces of those arriving in the extermination centers and the mangled, lifeless bodies of those on their way out. There are even biographies of the torturers and the executioners themselves, many of them young teenagers. Etchison says the project has collected hundreds of thousands of pages of such data with the help of the Cambodian government and has begun to scan it into computer archives. Moving to the computer, Etchison calls up one database of particular interest.
There's been a great deal of talk about King Suri lately, so let's just put his name in there. And in this case, you see that we have 307 different documents that make reference in one way or another to Mr. Ying Suri.
Ying Suri was deputy prime minister during the Khmer Rouge reign from 1975 to 1979. Since then, a whole generation of Cambodians has grown up hearing Ying Suri's name linked with Khmer Rouge leader Pol Pot's as those most responsible for the deaths of up to 2 million Cambodians. But in recent weeks, Ying Suri and some 2,000 troops loyal to him have broken with Khmer Rouge hardliners and flirted with the Cambodian government. The government, in turn, hoping to gain control over those troops and their territory, arranged for Ying Suri to be granted a royal pardon and said, it's time to let bygones be bygones. That makes things tricky for the Yale Project. Its original purpose, as funded by Congress through the Cambodian Genocide Justice Act a couple of years ago, was to compile enough detailed information about Khmer Rouge leaders that there'd at least be the possibility of bringing them to justice. But in the lead-up to Ying Suri's amnesty, the Yale Project remained oddly quiet about the information it has on him and allowed no one else access to it. Etchison says this was a deliberate decision.
It's been our observation that for hundreds of years, foreigners have been coming to Cambodia and telling them how to conduct their affairs, and what sort of decisions to make about the future of their country. And we really don't want to do that. We think that the Cambodians need to make decisions for themselves, particularly about such a crucial matter as the genocide of the 1970s in Cambodia.
But then, certain members of the Cambodian government aren't exactly objective about how to deal with the issue of Khmer Rouge genocide. Several were Khmer Rouge themselves, and some are just as guilty of crimes against humanity as the Khmer Rouge who are still fighting in the forests. For this reason, political opposition leader Samran Sii says he doubts Cambodia will ever have the kind of tribunals that followed the Holocaust, the war in Bosnia, or the massacre in Rwanda.
There is no clear-cut line between the good and the bad in Cambodia, between black and white. In Cambodia, everything is gray. You know, if you want to condemn, to jail, to punish the Khmer Rouge, you must look at many Khmer Rouges.
Even if there are no future tribunals, Etchison says the Genocide Documentation Center has still been important in helping to provide a clearer and more detailed account of what happened in one of the 20th century's darkest chapters. Already, project researchers have found evidence of many more mass graves than had previously been known to exist. As a result, estimates on how many people died under the Khmer Rouge have increased from around 1 million to as many as 2 million. The problem, says Etchison, is that both time and money are now running out, long before the work of copying and analyzing the data are done, and neither Congress nor international aid agencies have yet agreed to extend more funding.
So if we are unable to find additional resources to continue the work, we fear that this very important historical record of what happened in one of the worst genocides of the 20th century will be lost.
Well, not exactly lost. When the project winds down, the documents will go back to the Cambodian government's storerooms, where they've been safely kept for the past 17 years. But with the government's recent dizzying about-face on Ying Siri and the breakaway Khmer Rouge, researchers can be forgiven for wondering whether there'll ever again be the same access to these documents, or whether an accurate accounting of Cambodia's brutal past will end up being sacrificed on the altar of political expediency. I'm Mary Kay Magstad reporting.